Blog Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody listening to the show. I'm Jonathan Moody, and pretty soon I'm going to have my co-host, Dave Green, calling in a little bit. I think she's running a little late. So is the guest tonight will be Courtney Gaines, who starred in Children of the Corn and I Can't Buy Me Love and many other movies. He also is running behind on a low schedule. Hold on. Actually, here should be my co-host. 1 second. Jay, are you on?
Hey, hey, hey.
Hey, what's
what
up?
What are you doing?
What's
going on?
Waiting for you and Courtney. Courtney just called to tell me to let me know he's running behind on something, so he's going to call in a few, you know.
Okay.
But I was pretty sure we could handle it for a little bit until he calls in. You know?
Absolutely.
But I was pretty sure I wasn't going to be able to handle it by myself. That would be kind of weird.
Well, sorry I'm a little tardy calling in. I have just embarked on a trip. I've been all over the place. Now I just got to L.A. from Discovery Bay, which I was in Tahoe previously. So I'm all over the place. But I'm here now. I'm here now, and I'm ready to rock. What about you?
So this year's also been the year for you running around just like me. We've both been, like, going all over the place. We actually saw each other in Texas for a little bit, too. It was crazy. Crazy
time.
Absolutely. You know?
And I got to host some of the panels there at Texas. It was great.
At Brightmare, yeah, that was great. It was really cool seeing everybody, you know, just, like, seeing everybody in one place, you know?
Yeah.
Like, everybody I've talked to in the, like, forever. You know?
Absolutely.
Yeah, it was fun. I was sad you couldn't make it out to Fright Night, but I guess that's a little farther away. Like, you know, you're probably better on the West Coast than on the East Coast, right?
Well, pretty much, it depends where I'm invited. Sometimes I have been invited to a few on the East Coast coming up in 2011. So you guys will, from the East Coast people, you guys might be invaded by day. But for right now, it's just easy to get around here. And you know, if I've got a job to do, if I'm a guest, that's pretty much what I'm showing up for these things.
Nice, nice. So I guess have you been a fan of Courtney's too? So before we have him on.
You know, I absolutely have. I have. I of course, Malachi. Children of the Corn is great. Loved him at Hans in The Burbs. That's actually one of my favorite parts of his. And I had a chance to meet him in Texas. But before we met, it found out that his child's grandfather actually has a lot of history in the town that I grew up in Alabama. So we automatically have like a little bit of a conversation piece right there. No, he's a really sweet guy, really nice guy.
Yeah, so you should be calling in pretty soon to discuss his films and everything. And I was, like, re-looking at his IMDb resume, and holy crap, you know? I didn't even know he was on 21 Jump Street, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's definitely an 80s guy. We'll have a lot to talk about that we're going to have to put into one, you know, show. But, you've had some interesting shows coming up recently. That was great for you.
Well, you know, before we go any further, I want you guys to say hello to the co-host of The Gash. It's Nita. I've got Nita sitting here in front of me. Hold on 1 second.
Cool.
Hey. Hello.
Hey, Nita. How are you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Pretty good. Do you know who this is?
No. We're drinking, so I have no clue.
It's okay. It's Jonathan Moody from the Independent Corner Radio Show. So.
Oh, hi.
Hey, I've been listening to your shows for a while, so it's really good to finally hear your voice, like, on my show, you know.
Oh, yay. Oh, well, in that case, it's an honor to be on your show. That's cool. So what's going on?
We're about to, Dave's about to co-host a show with Courtney Gaines and me. So.
Nice.
Yes.
That should be fun.
Yep. So you guys having fun out there?
Yeah. We're actually, you know, the funny thing about it is that me and Day, actually, this is our first time meeting in person. So we've just been catching up and having some drinks and stuff like that. So that's been pretty cool.
That's great.
Yeah.
So cool. Are you guys going to be doing the Gash pretty soon, too?
You know what? I actually have to talk to Day about that because I'm still going to be here in L.A. on Monday. So we usually do it Monday night. So we might be doing a show this Monday, but I am not sure.
Yes, we will be doing a show this Monday.
Okay. Well, according to Day, we're going to be doing a show on Monday. So it was nice talking to you, sweetie. And I'm gonna hand the phone back to Day so that she can do this.
Great.
All right. It's nice meeting you.
All right. Well, we've got Courtney back on. We got Courtney on the show, so let me bring him on real quick. Courtney, are you there?
I'm here.
Hey, what's going on?
Hey.
Hi.
Hey, Courtney. How you doing?
I'm okay.
Well, yeah. You're okay. You sound good. What are you doing? What you up to?
Oh, I just had this crazy long drive to Seal Beach, so I'm just getting out of the car. It took a lot longer than I thought it was going to. Nice area. But from L.A. to Seal Beach is, South Beach is a long drive.
Wow, holy crap.
Yeah, I just drove from outside of San Francisco all the way down here to L.A., so I understand.
I feel like I practically could have gotten to San Francisco by now. I think I was on the road for like 2.5 hours, 3 hours. Yeah. It was an accident.
Well,
all right.
Well,
but here we are.
We got you on the show, Courtney. I guess your biggest, your biggest cult, flick is Children of the Corn, which is, oddly enough, isn't that your first film ever?
Yeah, it is. First film right out of high school. First thing I ever got. Who knew? It would, 25 years later, it'd still become this big cult classic.
Wow. Yeah. Now, big question on that is, how was the audition for that film? Like, how hard was that to kind of do?
Well, I had to go in twice. First, just to read with the casting and the director and the producers, and the story goes, I had this plastic knife, one of those ones you can cut. Pretend you're stabbing somebody with, and it goes in like the spring on it, and I put it under the throat of the casting director, the reader, and which kind of really freaked him out. He couldn't tell if it was real or not, but everybody else knew it was fake. And then I had to come back and read with John Franklin. So I grabbed him by the lapel and I shook the hell out of him and they gave me the job.
That is awesome. Well, that's one way to kind of break into this business, huh?
That was nice.
Yeah, it's just trying to get that first break,
Yeah, definitely. The music in the film is really, really kind of creepy. When you were watching it, in the theater, what were you thinking?
Oh, I thought the music was great. I mean, that guy's gone on to do a lot of Stephen King movies, and stuff. He's really good at that kind of thing. I mean, it's a very memorable, the thing that sticks in your head, which is a good sign.
All right, awesome. So, Dave, do you have any questions right now? Dave, are you there?
I'm sorry, my phone is cutting out so bad. I think we're in a bad reception.
Okay. Yeah, you want to call me back in a little bit?
Yeah, look. Do it better. Here we go.
Okay, let's... Yeah, call me back in a little bit, Day. Yeah, she'll just call me back in a second. Just had to hang
up
because I guess she's having some bad reception there or whatever.
Okay.
So, it sounded like she was. It sounded like she couldn't even hear us talking. I guess Malachi is probably one of the most memorable characters that you've played too, right? Like just a very, very great villain. What would you think when you were doing it?
All I thought at the time was I was just trying to do a good job and prove I belonged in the film business. Really knew nothing more than that at the time. I was just young and ambitious and eager to show I belonged. So I guess I did okay.
I guess you stayed around the business for a long time in the 80s, definitely. We were just talking about how I didn't even realize you were in 21 Jump Street, which...
Yeah, I did an episode of 21 Jump Street. Johnny Depp was in it at the time, and he was a really nice guy, and I'd worked with Peter DeLuise on another project, a motorcycle movie called Winner Take All that somebody just told me they saw on TV today, actually, which is pretty funny. But, so Peter's a great guy, and, yeah, it was good.
Awesome.
Up in Vancouver.
Yeah, definitely. And, I can list a whole load of stuff on your IMDb, but we're just going to kind of go through, like, you know, more of your popular stuff, you know. Obviously,
sure.
The ones that people love. What was it like to be in the movie Back to the Future, which is huge success? Did you think, like, when you were making it that it was going to be that big?
I don't know if I thought it was going to be that big, but I was pretty sure it was going to be a big movie, yeah.
Yeah,
I mean,
Michael J. Fox was, had family
yeah.
ties at that time, so.
Yeah, well, I think that was the big, you know, that was a big deal of a guy to transition from a TV show into film and have a success. That was not happening at that time in the film business. You know, you're either a film actor or a TV actor. So for him to pull that off was big. But I just thought it was a good movie. You know, it was a good story. You had Spielberg behind it, and you had Robert Zemeckis, and, you know, it just looked like it was going to be successful.
Yeah, definitely.
And I was really happy, you know, Crispin Glover and I did the first thing either one of us ever did was a short film for the American Film Institute called The Orkley Kid that he was the lead in. And so, you know, we kind of broke in together, and then to see him get that big break, it was great.
So how did you get the part of Dixon in that movie?
I guess I auditioned. Do you remember? You know, honestly, I can't remember. I
must
have auditioned.
Most of those films,
yeah.
Is there any of those films, like, well, obviously you said you auditioned for Back to the Future, but, like movies like Secret Admirer or Can't Buy Me Love or any of those 80s movies, did any of them, did people just, like, hire you, or did you just audition for all of them?
Most of them I auditioned for. The one that was probably most catered for me was another 80s movie called Hard Bodies. Remember that?
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I was in an acting class with the director writer of it, and he kind of tailor made that role of Rags for me. So that was
pretty cool.
Wow.
That's pretty cool to have somebody who'll do that. And I guess you worked with Darcy in that too. I'm looking up them.
Correct.
Up.
Darcy DeMoss. Absolutely. We did a couple movies together. That and Can't Buy Me Love.
Yeah. And I'm trying to get her on my show soon. So I'm friends with her on Facebook. Everybody's on Facebook these days too. It's crazy.
Yeah, it's a way to reach people, right?
It's definitely. It's independent film business. That's also another way to get your stuff out there and get a chance to work with other people you may not have been able to work back. You know.
No, absolutely. I've gotten MySpace and Facebook and all that. I've gotten people been able to find me and offer me work. So I've gotten work off of it. So it's good.
And you got you got radio shows and other things, you know, like
sure,
interviews.
Yeah, I've done a lot of interviews. Yeah, it's been it's a social network, just like they say, right?
Yeah, definitely. That's really cool. Now let's talk a little bit about Can't Buy Me Love, which is also like one of your bigger hits too. Like a lot of people.
Yeah.
When you were first doing that movie, what was going through your head when you first got the script for that film?
Well, first off, that movie I just said, Winner Take All, was for the same company. And so it was, I went and had to audition, but I was kind of already in with that company, having worked with them once before. So I was pretty comfortable, getting on that set because I knew the producers and such. Honestly, the script was originally called Boy Meets Girl, and it was okay. But it wasn't until after we shot the film and Disney Touchstone Pictures got behind it and we went back and did some reshoots and they cleaned a lot of the say, toilet humor or potty humor, whatever you want to say, and made it a better film and got the soundtrack, from the Beatles, Can't Buy Me Love and all that. And all that stuff really took it over to the top and made it a much better film.
Yeah, definitely. What was it like to work with, what was it like to work with Seth Green? Back when he was...
I thought Seth Green would go on to be a director. He at 10 years old, he knew more about filmmaking than most of the adults I knew. You know, he was deep in it already, and, you know, because he'd been working since he was a little kid, and he really knew what he was doing, you know, already. And I thought, oh, yeah, this guy's probably going to be a director one day. And he's gone on to produce and direct and, you know, animation and all kinds of things. So
yeah,
Robot Chicken.
Has he ever asked you to be a part of Robot Chicken at all, or?
No, he hasn't. That'd be cool, though.
Yeah, I'm sure he'll jump on that in a second if he ever did. If you ever, like, you know.
Yeah, no, that'd be fun. That'd be fun.
Yeah. Have you done voice work?
Not a ton, though. I just did something very interesting. I have a project, a video game coming out that I'm part of called L.A. Noir, that's coming out in October. But what was interesting is it's usually those things are just a voiceover, but we actually did the light bulb suit movement stuff. We actually did this other thing where they just shot our face, and they're going to superimpose that onto the project. It still looks like a video game, but you'll be able to see it's our face, and that's never been done before.
Oh,
so it's
cool.
Getting a lot of buzz right now.
Well, it seems like you're also in, like, the Wing Commander.
I did Wing Commander, which was the first CD-ROM game to actually have people in it. All the sets were green screen and all like that, but it was real people. That did really well. That was a while ago, but that was a big deal when it happened.
Well, it sucks that the movie bombed really badly from what I understood.
Yeah, the movie did bomb, yeah.
I mean, I remember watching it because I was excited, and then I was like, man, this is not like it should be, you know? I guess a lot of video game movies don't transfer real well.
It is tough. It is tough. It's not. It's definitely not the same medium. And so, yeah, sometimes they work and sometimes they don't.
Yeah, definitely. Well, you never really know at all, do you?
No. It's hard to tell what an audience is going to want and why as well.
Yeah, definitely. You must have had a lot of fun doing stuff in the 80s. But what was your most memorable moment of doing any films in the 80s?
Yikes. I don't know if I can even answer that question. Probably Children of the Corn, when toward the end of the shooting, standing out in the cornfields, you know, with the wind blowing and just going, you know what, I did this, I can do this, you know. I think that was probably, you know, the moment where I knew, you know, my life was going to shift into a different gear, and it did, you know. And I had a really good run in the 80s with that whole teen cinema at that time, you know.
Now, did you have to get an agent to land the audition, or did you get an agent after the
No, film? I had agents and managers and people who believed in me that were pushing for me, you know, getting me auditions. Would have never been able to get there without them.
Now, how did you get your agents to begin with for people who...
Well, I was studying with an acting coach, a guy named Virgil Fry, and his daughter, Soleil Moon Fry, Punky Brewster, but she was a little kid at the time, even littler than she was in the show, but he broke me into the business. He became my manager, and some people who actually studied in that class decided to become agents, and they knew my work really, really well, and they represented me, and they did a great job getting my career started.
Well, obviously. I mean, are they still your agents and managers today?
No, they've gone into some management. One of them's retired, so they were agents for a number of years, and they were managers for a number of years, and I worked with them on and off, but they're not anymore.
Well, I guess that happens in business after a while anyway, yeah.
I've been through lots of changes in terms of my agents and managers over the years. Sometimes there's many factors that, decide why you stay with somebody or why you move on, but you just keep trying to keep it going, you know?
Yeah, well, do you think it's easier to find your own work or to have them...
Okay. No, no, it's good to have representation. It's good to have somebody selling you. I'm not big on selling myself, you know. I'm willing to do the work and audition and let my work speak for itself, but I'm not real good on hyping myself.
So
it's better to have somebody else, you know, telling people how great you are.
Exactly. So you don't have to go around and say it, right?
I'm not real good at that. Not real good at, you know, tooting my own horn, so...
Well, I kind of want to jump ahead a little bit to King Cobra, which did you have a lot of fun with that? Because I know that the director, the Hillenbrand, has been on my show before, great
oh,
people.
Yeah, well, I did, you know, yeah, I knew them before that, and so they invited me to come work on that, and, yeah, it was a good time. It was a pretty cool set, actually. And then I went on to produce, co-executive produce a movie with them and star in it called Dorm Days. They've gone on to do Dorm Days 2 and Dorm Days 3 since. It was a pretty good little franchise for them.
Yeah, I'm actually friends with Worm Miller, who wrote.
Ah, yeah, yeah, one of the writers. Yes, yes, yes.
Him and Patrick Casey have been on my show a couple times too. So those
nice.
Guys are those guys are fantastic people too. So,
But
King Cobra, you know, as being like a big fan of horror myself, anyway, I'm sure you know that. I love, you know, like I love like B movie style stuff.
Right.
I like the CGI in King Cobra.
I don't think there was any, was there? If it was, it was very limited. They did more of the, you know, the old style, the creature, you know, effects more than the CGI, if I'm not mistaken.
Oh, wait. Well, I think there was maybe a little bit of CGI, but maybe you're right.
It was pretty limited.
Okay. But what was it like working on a film like that? Like on a, I mean, did you actually get eaten by the cobra? I'm trying to remember the
I caused the sort of the cobra to become the cobra. I blew up the lab with my experiment.
All right. I haven't seen that film in so long, so you know, forgive me for like not remembering everything about, you know what I mean? Like
no worries.
Different things. But what was it a lot of fun though, just to shoot a film with that kind of like feeling and love for it?
You know, I always tell people, honestly, like, my job remains the same, you know, whether I'm doing a big-budget movie or a low-budget movie, you know, my job as an actor remains the same, you know, so I just try to do my job the best I can with the parameters, you know, and the time I have to shoot it. The higher the budget, the more time you have to shoot, the less budget, the less time you have to shoot, you know, so you feel a little more rushed, but you try to still deliver the goods. But it's very similar when you're shooting TV. I mean, to shoot an hour episode of television, you know, in a week is really fast. You know, that's a lot. You're shooting, you know, 40 pages in a week. I mean, if a movie could do that, you could shoot a whole movie in 2 weeks, and that's really hard to do.
Well, yeah, definitely, and it's especially for an independent, you know, dealing with independent films as opposed to dealing with Hollywood stuff. What would you say has been like your favorite Hollywood movie that you've done so far?
Memphis Belle, probably.
Memphis Belle.
Mhm. Got to go to England, shoot at Pinewood Studios, work with some of the best talent there in terms of DPs and editors, and you know, it's just a really, you know, David Putnam as a producer. I mean, just that was a really wonderful project to be part of.
How'd you get cast in that film?
I had to audition. Yeah, but I, you know, I came up with a pretty good angle. I realized it was a real ensemble film, and so I really pitched the fact that I, you know, did that ensemble was my forte, and that I was part of a really good ensemble theater company in L.A. And really that helped. I think I think the director found that very refreshing because he said most people in L.A. just wanted to know what was in it for them. So.
I mean, that does seem like an L.A. kind of question, you know, or whatever, like, but looking at the...
He said in New York they wanted to know about the script, in L.A. they wanted to know about themselves, that's what he said.
Exactly, and, but, like, looking at the cast that they had, wow, geez, you know, Matthew Modine, Eric Stoltz, D.B. Sweeney, Billy Zane, Sean Astin, you know, huge...
Yeah. It was the movie that year. As a young actor, it was the movie to get cast in, without a doubt. Everybody wanted it. It was a big deal.
Now, as any movie, like I know you're talking about how you're at, like theater friends and things like that. But have you ever kind of dealt with a lot of like jealousy because you have been in movies like that or anything like that?
From
like your friends
or
people that you've. Worked with on
basically,
you know.
I think people when you you grow up with your friends and then you start becoming an actor, I think what they look to do is see if you're gonna like, you know, become big headed, you know, so they're just looking for that. And if you know some of them can deal with your success and some of them can't. And some of them, like I said, are just looking to say you're a sellout or whatever. So you kind of find out who your friends are, you know, to be honest. I don't think my head blew up too much about through the whole process, because it's always been about the work for me, you know.
Showing what you can do, right, and not showing how much money you can make, that kind of thing.
Well, I just take the work seriously, you know. That's all I can say. The work to me is, I mean, yeah, it's nice to make money and whatever when you can, and you know, is some. But at the end of the day, the work itself is kind of a precious thing to me, you know.
Yeah, definitely. Now, what was it like to work with, like, did you know Sean Astin at that point, like, when you were working with him, or did you?
No, I didn't, but we kind of became, you know, we got to be fairly good friends during that time. I still see him now and again, but, because most of the other actors either were married or in serious relationships, or they were single, and both of us had girlfriends that we were waiting to come over, so we were kind of suffering together waiting for our girlfriends to come over.
That's how you bonded, through your girlfriends?
You are waiting, suffering over our girlfriends, yes.
Yes, or suffering to get back to your girlfriends, basically?
They were coming out to see us, but everybody else either had their wives or girlfriends already out, or the other guys were all single. So we were the only ones who couldn't do anything, if you know what I mean.
Oh, yeah, I know what you mean. So that's really cool, though. Like, and I'm sure, like, throughout the years that you had all these memories that you're just like, oh, crap, you know? Like, now I can look back and see all the stuff that I've done, but, like, still want, you know, to have more
memories. Yeah, it's good. You know, it's at a point now where I can look back at the body of work and see it as a whole, and that's good.
Oh, that's definitely good. Actually, one of the actresses that I've had on my radio show recently just told me to tell you hi. Guess she knows you, Brittany Powell.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, so she's
there. Have you met her?
Yeah, I got her on my radio show a while ago, and she had
cool.
A good time, so.
I just saw her.
You just saw her?
Yeah, actually, Monday, I think. I just saw her. Yeah, no, she's cool.
Yeah, she was just saying, she was like, I love him, tell him I said hi, so.
Right on.
I do what I'm asked by beautiful women, you know?
Yes, I bet you do. And she is indeed a beautiful woman, so I understand.
Exactly. She's hopefully coming back on my show, soon to talk about her web series again some more, like
cool,
with some of the people. And I don't know if you got, know too much about.
I've seen some of it.
Yeah. Have you worked with her?
Not in anything professionally. We actually go work out in an acting class together sometimes.
Oh, okay. So.
Yeah. Definitely. I'd love to work with her, though. She seems like a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. She's, she's busy, too. She's always doing stuff, so it's good.
Oh, yeah. No. She's a go-getter, without a doubt.
My friend Matt wanted to ask, Matt Cloud asked, what was it like working with Rob Zombie?
I'm sorry, with who?
With Rob Zombie.
Oh, yeah, it was great. You know, a friend of mine was working as an assistant director on the project, and he told me, he said, yeah, throw out that script. When you start working with Rob, it's just like anything goes, you know, you're going to rework it, and that's exactly what happened.
And it was
a really interesting process, and it was really all about just trying to find the truth in the scene, you know?
Right, and this is for Halloween, right? Like,
yeah.
The original, the remake of Halloween, which... oddly enough, is not on your IMDb.
There's a bit of confusion there. I've been trying to get it put back on. Basically, I didn't make the theatrical release. A lot of the people who did cameos didn't, but I am in the director's cut. So I think I should go back up on the IMDb, but I think they're going by the credits on the theatrical release, which I'm not in. So it's a... I feel like it's trying to deal with, like, you know, the credit score people or something. You're like, who can I talk to here to clear this up, you know?
Exactly, because, like, he was, like, asking me that question, and I was like, what did... Because I haven't seen the director's cut yet of Halloween, which I need to see, you know? But
people like it better. I don't know, you know? I don't know, but some people like it better.
What are your thoughts?
They did some pretty major reshoots on it.
Be honest, what are your thoughts on it? Did you like the did you like the director's cut better, or would you prefer the original theatrical version yourself?
I'd probably go with the director's cut.
And you're not saying that because you're in it, right?
Oh, I absolutely am, yeah.
Okay, all right.
No, I just liked it better. I just thought it was a little more gritty.
Okay. Because, you know, I've had people talk about it, and that's why a lot of things why I haven't seen it yet is because a lot of people have talked about it on my show, and people have argued about it, like which ones they liked better or whatever. And
I think that's exactly what, you know, they wanted you to do. You know, that's why they have a director's cut and an unrated cut and all those things, so that people can get talking about it, you know?
Yeah, people can, you know, debate which one they think better. But, now, I do want to talk. You mentioned before that you're in Dorm Days.
Yeah.
And that character, Lorenzo, is amazing.
Yeah, a lot of fun.
Yeah. How did you get into that character? Because that character is so different than a lot of the stuff that you do.
I've played a lot of heavies before, and I had just come off doing comedy with, like, Sweet Home Alabama. So it was for me, it was nice because I got to do a bad guy in a comedy. You know, that's really all the difference was in my mind. Like I said, I've played a lot of, you know, tough guys, whatever. But, you know, in comedy, you can take it over the top a little bit more. But, you know, my real belief in playing comedy is if it's written well, you just play the situation, and the situation's what's funny, you know?
Right.
It's not like sitcom, you know, delivery stuff. I mean, you know, by and large, I've not done a lot of sitcom. You know, I do film, and really, it's the situation. In the Dorm Days, there's nothing but situations. It's very much like a classical French, you know, farce and mistaken identities and all that kind of thing. You know.
Yeah, definitely. Now, did you big question though. You're talking about sitcoms. Have you ever been on any kind of sitcom at all?
I'm sorry, say that again?
Have you ever been on any kind of sitcom at all?
Yeah, I did Seinfeld.
Oh, nice. Now, was it a kind of like a different kind of feel for you? Like, doing...
A little bit. But, I mean, you know, Seinfeld's, in my mind, not your typical sitcom either, though. You know, it's not cheesy, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
It's a pretty cool show, so I was happy to work on it. It was a very good experience, actually. I really liked the way they ran their show a lot.
Well, you know, being in such a big show like that, I mean, were you at all nervous or anything? Like, whenever you do anything like that, are you kind of nervous at all?
I get nervous anyway. I mean, auditions, I get nervous. Nervous is not a bad thing. You can use that energy. But I'm also confident, so it's an interesting combination. The biggest thing I learned on those shows is they get really nervous about what's funny or not. So, like, the first time you do a reading of it, people laugh and they're happy, and then maybe a couple rehearsals in, they start to panic that the joke's not funny. So they start to redo rewrites, and usually the rewrites aren't funnier than what they had to begin with, you know?
So, like, maybe it was just going to
like
be bad no matter what.
They overthink it, you know? They overthink it.
Yeah. That's okay. I've never really had that many people that have actually been that have done sitcoms or been on sitcoms or whatever on my show. So
I just did a really good. I don't know if does my name is Earl count as a sitcom?
I don't know what exactly because situational comedy is what it means. So
I really like that show a lot, and I actually did a really good guest star on that at their last season that I'm pretty proud of. Character named Lloyd in a show, an episode called I Sold a Guy a Lemon Car. And really fun character because I get to play my nerdy side, and then I also get to play my crazy side, which because the character gets sold this lemon car and then he becomes really kind of embittered. But rarely do I get to do both in the same project, you know? It's usually one or the other, you know? So I really had a blast doing it, and it was a really fun show to work on. They were great.
That's fantastic. And you're on Monk, which, you know, my dad's a big fan of both My Name is Earl and Monk, so it's kind of funny that you're in both of them. It's kind of almost back to back, right?
There you go.
Yeah. What was it like to work on Monk?
It was pretty good, you know. They move pretty fast, and, you know, when you're on a guest star on a show, it's like, sometimes it takes a while for you to click with the cast, you know what I mean? It depends on their energy and their attitude. And it wasn't until Shalhoub and I had our fight, you know, we actually did the choreography to the fight scene, that we really clicked. Denny, I think he realized and knew what I was doing, you know?
Now, I have to ask this, because he's such a great actor when he plays Monk. Is he like that, like, is he like a method actor? Is he like that when he's off screen too?
No, I mean, he's been doing it for a long time, number one. But number two, he's actually a producer on the show, so he gives a lot of input.
Okay.
So sometimes he's kind of, you know, not directing, but putting his two cents in. So no, he's not in character all the time.
Okay. I think that would be hilarious if he were, but
yeah, it would be pretty funny.
Yeah, I'm sure it'd be a crazy set then. Now, I kind of want to also jump ahead to a lot of the stuff that you've been doing recently.
Cool.
And you've been doing a lot recently, so congratulations.
Thank you.
Sibling Rivalry, you also produced the film, right, if I'm correct?
Yeah, I kind of got thrown an executive producer credit. I didn't do a lot on the producing side, but Margo Romero was a friend of mine, and I helped. I came out, you know, and contributed as an actor to her very low-budget project because I just wanted to see her get her directing career going, you know, which we then went and did another movie called The Phobic that she directed that we're still trying to figure out the distribution on, but hopefully it'll see the light of day.
Now, is Sibling Rivalry a feature or a short?
No, it's a feature. Low-budget horror film.
Oh, okay. What was that film about?
Let's see. Can I explain? It has a little bit of that Scream feel to it, where there's, you know, a bunch of kids who are all hanging out on this up in Vancouver on the waterfront there, and you know, guy keeps showing up like in sort of costume, and they keep thinking, you know, and he keeps murdering people, and they keep thinking, you know, they don't know who it is, that kind of thing. Kind of,
right.
You know, in that way, it makes you think of Scream, because similar, where it's the same character in the same mask every time, you know.
Right. It's like a slasher film.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, was that your first slasher film?
I don't know. I guess maybe it was, huh?
Wow, that's kind of cool though. I mean, at least you can go around and say you've been in one if you're not in another one, you know.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't think about it.
My job
remains the same. It doesn't matter.
Yeah,
like,
it doesn't
matter
what movie you're in,
act.
Right?
Yeah, I just act.
Yeah, you know, and I'm sure you've been in so many different types that it's just, you know, like whichever one.
What? I think that's, you know, sort of been, you know, if there's been a key to my success, I think that's what it's been, you know, that I can do dramas, I can do comedy, you know, I can do a variety of things. I think, you know, that's what's saved my ass over the years, you know?
Yeah, definitely. And I'm sure you get a lot of offers or a lot of, like, you know, people asking you to be in their horror films, you know, because of Children of the Corn.
Mainly like, you know, when I show up and do a cameo and stuff. And if somebody will pay me, you know, decent, I'll do it. You know, and that movie, The Quiet Ones, is a sort of, I guess you could say it's a slasher film as well. I did a pretty nice cameo in that for them, and I'm about to go do another one in Detroit. Oh, what's the name of the film? I'm blanking right now. I'm just signing the deal right now. But I'm doing like the opening scene to the movie, and you know, and it's basically, you know, because, you know, of the Children of the Corn recognizability for sure. I'm sure it'll be on the IMDb soon, and you can tell
is
people.
It's not on
it.
It's not on it.
Yeah, I don't think it's on there yet. We're just locking the deal, but I'm gonna shoot it at the end of the month.
Cause you got, I know you got The Perfect Serial Killer coming up, and you got.
That's in pre-production. I'm not sure when they're going to start shooting it, but hopefully soon.
And Go Straight to Hell, which...
Like in the Saul vein-ish or the Hostel vein-ish, I think, kind of film.
And Go Straight to Hell, which I've heard about, you know.
Yeah, so I'm signed on to do that. I'm still waiting to hear when we're starting as well. When you do, you know, and you sign on these low-budget horror projects, you know, it's all about trying to get their money together. I'm not sure where it's at, but hopefully, they said this year, so hopefully we'll shoot it this year.
Hopefully, you know, we've got, what, 4 or 5 more months
Yeah,
so hopefully they'll pull it together. But the movie we should be talking about is the movie I got coming out in November, the Dwayne Johnson, Billy Bob Thornton movie, Faster.
Oh, Faster. Yeah, it's in post-production.
That's the project
that's
happening. That's, I think that's going to be a good movie.
Now, what's that film about?
It's kind of a classic revenge film, you know, kind of like that a la 1970s feel, you know, basically Dwayne Johnson, we kill Dwayne Johnson's brother and leave Dwayne Johnson for dead, but he doesn't die. He does 10 years in prison and he comes out and gets everybody. But it's, that's like the basic, but the way it's written is really clever. And I think it's going to be more than, I think we're going to go see it to see Dwayne Johnson do an action film because he hasn't done one in a while. But I think they're going to get a better film than they bargained for.
Yeah, and you play telemarketer now. Is that just
All the characters are named like that. Like his character is named the driver. Billy Bob Thornton's character is named the cop. Like everybody's named like that. So my character's called the telemarketer because when he finds me 10 years later, that's what I'm doing for a living.
Oh, okay. Because like the way that looks, it just looks like random.
Like you did a day on it. Yeah, trust
me.
Yeah,
like you did a day, but
it's a good supporting. It's a really good supporting role in the movie. I'm one of the main bad guys that caused the problems in his life.
Nice. Now, and it's really cool. How is it to work with The Rock?
He's actually great. Really, really nice guy. Really cool. Really easy to work with. Definitely enjoy getting to meet him and work with him. And Billy Bob Thornton and I go, back a ways. One of the first things he ever did was this TV show he and I did. I played his brother. And so, I kind of know him from the beginning, which is cool because he's a great actor and he's done, incredibly well and good writer and all those things. It's been amazing to see him come up over the years,
Yeah, definitely. Especially since he's this mega star, so it's cool.
Yeah, well, he hasn't done a film in 2 years. He's been running around, doing his rock, doing his band, which he's done really well with. But for 2 years, that's all he's been doing really was recording and touring. And he kind of realized, hey, I better do a film. So it was really good to have him come on this because he really gave the movie weight, if you know what I mean. With having Billy Bob attached, the acting's going to be good,
Wow, I never even noticed, that he, I guess he has been gone for a little bit.
Yeah, he has. So this is going to be good. On that note, too, I think all the Billy Bob fans are going to come see it for the same reason. And I think, like I said, I think when people get there, they're going to get a better movie than they bargained for, and I think that's going to be good because I think the word of mouth on it's going to be good. They're releasing it right before the day before Thanksgiving, which is a great release date. So I'm pretty excited about it. I think it's going to do well.
Was that going to be national or international?
National. I mean, I don't know about how they're going to do their foreign, but domestically it's coming out the day before Thanksgiving.
That is awesome.
Yeah.
I'm sure there's going to be, tons of stuff on it soon. So are you in the trailer for it?
No, I really didn't see anybody but Dwayne Johnson in the trailer so far. I have a feeling they might do other trailers, though. We'll see.
All right, cool. And I'm sure you'll be in the other trailers because I'm sure you had a part with,
see how the film's shot. It's very interesting. It's cool. Even if you don't see me in the trailer, trust me, you'll see me in the movie.
Yeah. All right. There's also another movie called My Trip to the Dark Side.
Yeah, I just did that. That actually is a pilot, actually, that Shane Stanley directed and produced, who I did a thing for years ago called No Code of Conduct with Charlie Sheen. So that's being cut right now, and he's going to be shopping it, and I played the lead guy's best friend, who's a surf shop owner. So that was a lot of fun.
Oh, wow. So it's a pilot for a TV series?
But it's a pilot. I guess you technically call it a pilot presentation, which basically means, he shot it on his own, and then he's going to go shop it.
Oh, that's pretty cool.
So we'll see what comes to that. I hope, if he gets a deal, that'd be great. I would love to have I'd love to be on a TV show. And plus, playing the role that I was doing was really a lot of fun. So we'll see what happens. He's been in the business a long time. We'll see if he can make a deal somewhere.
Well, have you ever tried to be on a TV show other than that? Like, have you ever tried out for a pilot?
I would definitely be open to it. It's pretty tough. It's pretty tough if you're not on that list. There's a list, and if you're not on that list, it's a pretty hard list to crack.
Okay. Well, I'm sure it's probably harder to also break in.
At this point in my career, I would love to be a regular on a TV show. Are you kidding? That would be great.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, that means that's constant work, so.
Yeah,
you know.
Constant work, good pay, you know, a lot of exposure. All those things really help boost a career, you know?
Yeah, definitely. Have you ever like tried to go out for Entourage? I think you'd fit in well with those guys.
No, I would love to, though. I love that show. It's a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. So, wow, there's a lot of stuff going on out there, so it's kind of hard for you to kind of, you know, like, you have to audition for everything then if you wanted to.
Yeah, and then it's, you know, what contacts does your agent or manager have, or what does that particular casting director think of your work? There's a lot of factors, you know, that get you decided how you get in there, how you get hooked up, you know?
Now, we discussed before your favorite, like, Hollywood experience was Memphis Belle, but what was your, like, favorite independent film experience so far?
Well, actually, yeah, this is going to sound like I'm promoting myself, but really, the movie that I produced and starred in, Benny Bliss and the Disciples of Greatness, which came out on DVD through Anthem in March, that would be it. I had a blast making that.
And you also, you're credited as one of the writers on the film.
Yeah, I helped create the project. I helped create the character. I also wrote 4 songs in it. All the music in it's live. They're all real musicians. And so I get to front a really good band. And it was a blast. It was absolute. We're hoping to we can recoup our money on this thing. The investors said that they will they'll back it to do another one. We want to do 3. We want to do a trilogy.
Because
we just had such a good time doing it. So hopefully it'll happen.
Yeah, no, that's great. Now, are you a musician yourself?
Yeah.
So what do you play?
Guitar. Singer-songwriter.
Oh, cool. So have you recorded an album or anything like that before?
I do have something out called Gains that you can get on CD Baby.
Oh, nice. So.
And it's pretty eclectic. It's a couple different projects I worked on, a couple solo projects. But it's like, so I have, you know, a female vocalist and half material, but I wrote everything in it.
Oh, very cool. Very cool.
Yeah.
So people can go out to CD Baby and buy Gains right now.
Yeah.
If they wanted to. Now, is it doing really well?
It's been on there for a while. I have no idea how it's doing at this point. I've had it up there for, I don't know, at least 3 years.
So,
CD Baby's great. I like CD Baby. It's a great way for people to get their stuff out.
Yeah, definitely. I think since the invention of the internet, like, things have been so much easier for people to market and get a lot more stuff than
everything's a double-edged sword. You know, at the same time, I think it's caused, you know, the demise of the film, of the record business, you know, which in some ways is a good thing, in some ways is a bad thing.
You're talking about like MP3s and other things like that.
It's just a whole different, you know, oversaturation now, and, you know, you can make a record in your own home now. It's just the whole thing's different, you know?
Yeah, and like, what is it, like, I saw, like, Robert Rodriguez, when he was doing his tours or whatever, does a lot of the music tours on his own computer, and it's just, like,
yeah,
he has his,
you know, farm he works on. He just makes his movies right there. He's completely self-contained, practically, you know?
I'm guessing you're a fan yourself?
Well, I certainly would love to work with the guy, absolutely.
Yeah. Well,
I love Austin. Austin's a great city, so I've worked there before. Yeah, if you're going to have to go work a place you like. And Austin's a great place to hang out.
Yeah, definitely. And, like, I mean, I'm sure there are a lot of people. Now, to ask that question, who is the person that you would love to work with the most, do you think? Like, if you could work with anybody.
As a director or as
an
director, actor?
Director or actor or both or whatever, like.
Gotcha. I think actor-wise, you know, I had a chance to work with Robert Duvall once. I would love a chance to work with him again, you know. I think he's just stellar. As a director, whew. That's you know, Ridley Scott or Tony Scott wouldn't be awful. I could go for that. Certainly Rodriguez wouldn't be a bad thing. I'm trying to think if there's any one person that's just, you know, flooring me. Soderbergh. I mean, God, there's so many good people. I mean, how do you choose the guy who would be the one? I don't know.
Yeah, definitely. And Tony and Ridley are just amazing directors too. Anyway.
So, yeah, and then you know I've met Tony before, and he seemed like a really cool guy. Jonathan Demme would be a great guy to work with. He's a really cool guy. So people, you know, you want to work with somebody you really like too. I think that's great. You know, really adds to the whole thing. You know,
most
you got
definitely
that click with them. You know.
Have you met Tarantino?
Yes, I have briefly, and I was definitely. I think he'd probably be like the best choice for me because you know, the kind of work I do. I think if I was able to get a really tasty role in a movie like his, you know, the movies he does, I think that could really bode well for my career.
Well, you know, I mean, like how big of a, like, you know, I guess film knowledgeable guy he is. Did he recognize you from
your
film?
Oh, yeah, he absolutely did. Absolutely. Yeah, yeah. No, he knows his stuff.
Yeah, because, like, that's what it seems like. It seems like he actually knows, like, you know, like he'll be like, oh, I know, I remember you from this movie, you know. That kind of
right.
Thing.
Right.
No, so,
that's the kind of thing you hope for is that he goes, yeah, I got to put that guy. I haven't seen him around in a while. I'll put him in a movie. That's what you hope for, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Hopefully Tarantino will hear this. You know? Hopefully Tarantino will hear this interview and be like, you know,
exactly.
I need to have Courtney in a movie.
You know what? God darn it. I need to put Courtney Gaines in my next 5 movies.
Glorious Bastards 2. All right. Starring Courtney Gaines and Eric Stoltz. We can put everybody back in there, you know?
There you go. There you go.
No, yeah, well, he also got to, you know, Eric got to work on Pulp Fiction with him, and I think that's...
Yeah, he did. He was great. He was great in it.
And Eric got to work with you, so, I mean...
That, oh, you could do 6 degrees of Courtney Gaines, for sure, you know? I've
definitely.
With enough people who've worked with somebody else, you can pretty much pull that off.
That's crazy, though. Like, I guess you're Kevin Bacon, you know, status, you know, as far as film work, you know?
Yeah.
Definitely a really cool thing. Now, who's been your, you said Robert Duvall is like a person you wouldn't mind working with again, but was that your favorite person to work with as far as actors go?
He's certainly right up there. I respect his work a lot.
Was there anybody kind of like surprised you as far as, like, you know, their acting or anything when you were working with them?
Surprise. Nothing's coming to mind.
Nothing popped out.
Nothing's coming to mind. I'm trying to think. Well, I think maybe, you know, when I went to Sweet Home Alabama with Reese Witherspoon, I think I was pretty impressed with her professionalism and her ability to just turn it on and off like a light switch. I mean, she's been doing this since she was, you know, very young. And she's just got it down, you know?
Yeah, definitely.
So I was pretty impressed with her.
Anybody else, maybe?
Nothing's coming to mind. If it does, okay. I'll shout it out. But I'm going to have to get going here pretty soon.
Yeah, definitely. I guess, is there anything you wanted to shout out before you had to leave?
No, I think we covered it, you know? I think we covered it. I think we hit all the bases here.
I think we hit all your big things. Now, how can people reach you? I guess you got a Facebook, you've got a MySpace.
Yeah, that's the way to reach me is Facebook, but you can also reach me MySpace under my name. You can also reach me, you can find out information and stuff like that, autographs, that kind of thing at CourtneyGaines.net.
Credit card number, no.
But if you want to reach me direct, I'd say Facebook's your best bet.
Facebook, awesome.
Yeah.
So if anybody wants to add them, I mean, you're pretty friendly to your fans, you know, right? Like.
Yeah, I try. Yeah, I pretty much add people, you know, and I try to reply if people write me and such. I try to be good about it.
Yeah, I'm sure it's hard with your work, so constant work. So.
You know, I just knock it out in the mornings usually when I start my day, so if I can do it, I do it, you know?
Awesome.
If I'm on the road, then yeah, you're not going to hear from me for a while.
Definitely. Well, hopefully we won't, because then that means you're not having fun. You're chilling on Facebook. So.
There you go.
You need to be working out there.
Right. You got that right.
Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. It was a pleasure to have you on here. Are you doing any conventions soon so that people might see you?
You know, I don't have anything lined up. There's some talk about some stuff in October, but I don't have any firm dates right now.
Okay, cool. Well, hopefully we'll, you know, you'll be out there and people will be able to, you know, you on Facebook and hear what you're up to.
Yep.
All right.
Sounds
well,
good.
Thank you so much, Sid.
All right, man. You take care.
All right, you too. Okay.
Bye.
Bye. All right, everybody. Thank you so much for listening to the Independent Corner. That was Courtney Gaines, who has been in Children of the Corn, Can't Buy Me Love, Back to the Future, lots and lots of films. We just went through a ton of them. If you're listening, hopefully you were. Thank you guys for listening, and join me on my next show. Will be on Monday, where I'm going to be interviewing actor producer DJ Perry for the third time, and this will be very interesting because we're going to be talking about a lot of his newer stuff that he's been doing, and it's going to be a really good show, so you won't want to miss that. That's going to be Monday at 10 p.m. Eastern. Please check that out. Thank you guys for listening. Hope you enjoyed it, and keep in touch, and have a good day.